From Fox News, it's The Candidates with Brett Baer.
Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders is no stranger to the presidential campaign, considered the underdog in the 2016 election. Senator Sanders officially launched his 2020 presidential campaign on February 19th, 2019, aiming to be the front runner this time around.
It's a victory for Bernie Sanders.
It's a victory for all of us. Brothers and sisters, we have a lot of work in front of us.
Senator Sanders raised almost $6 million after announcing his candidacy, surpassing Senator Kamala Harris's first-day total, which was the most by any candidate to that point. Fox News Radio's Jared Halpern provides an in-depth look at the Socialist Democrat senator from Vermont.
At the age of 77, Vermont Independent Senator Bernie Sanders is making his second run for the Democratic nomination after securing more than 1,800 delegates in a stronger-than-expected showing against eventual 2016 nominee Hillary Clinton.
Together, my friends, we have begun a political revolution to transform America. And that revolution, our revolution, continues.
Sanders is the longest-serving political independent in Congress. First elected to the Senate in 2006, he was in the U.S. House since 1991, always aligning with the Democratic Party and helping form the Congressional Progressive Caucus.
Democratic socialism, to me, is creating a government and an economy and a society which works for all rather than just the top 1%. It means ending the absurd inequalities that exist today.
Before Congress, Sanders was elected and reelected three times as mayor of Burlington, Vermont, first running for that office at the age of 39. Sanders came up in politics as a liberal activist in the 1960s, working with organizations like the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee and the Young People's Socialist League. Opposed to the Vietnam War, Sanders has spent much of his time in Congress advocating for those who did fight. He chaired the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee, working with Republicans to pass legislation reforming the VA health system.
It is my strong belief as chairman of the Senate Veterans Committee that every veteran in this country is entitled to high-quality medical care and that they should get that care in a timely manner. I'm going to do everything I can to make that happen.
4 years ago, Sanders stood out in the Democratic field, proposing Medicare for all, a higher minimum wage, and tuition-free public universities. Now many of those ideas have been embraced by other candidates in the Democratic field.
So, I mean, I think it is a combination of factors, but at the end of the day, this is what I honestly believe. It's not whether you're young, it's not whether you're old. It is what you believe in.
Still, the progressive and populist support that propelled Sanders to a near upset in 2016 has followed him into his latest campaign. Polls and fundraising figures show him at or near the top of the crowded Democratic field. In Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
Jared, thanks. We'll bring in our panel now. Amy Walter, national editor of the Cook Political Report, Josh Kroschauer, political editor at National Journal, and Mike Allen, co-founder of Axios and co-founder of Politico. Okay, Mike, Bernie, he's done it before. It seems like he's going on, I'm the original, that these ideas that are out there now are getting more mainstream, and he's the guy that is really still generating a lot of excitement.
Except no substitutes. That's right. Bernie did something that would have been very hard for him and very surprising. That is, he exceeded expectations out of the gate. And I think a lot of it was what you were saying, that I thought before he actually announced that maybe he had succeeded himself out of a job, that his ideas were now so popular that you could get his ideas within maybe a younger package, a younger candidate. But if you look at the polls, if you look at the money, like, people like the classic. And so he started very strong with that $6 million in 24 hours and a hold on the grassroots that the other campaigns just can't duplicate.
So, Josh, I guess the question is that sustainable in a field where there are these young, attractive candidates? And really, because of his past run, he has the name recognition and the kind of fire from 2016.
It is, and I think he has more staying power than a lot of us originally thought. There's a 15-20%, just like Trump in 2016. He's got this core base of supporters that can really mean a whole lot when you're talking about a field of over a dozen candidates. And it's also important to note that the Democratic primary rules favor a candidate like Bernie, who has this passionate, 15-20% base of supporters.
More this time than last time.
Much more this time. I mean, in 2016, he was the anti-Clinton. Anyone who didn't like Clinton in the Democratic Party parked in Bernie's space, and that included socialists. It included people who just didn't like, for whatever reason, didn't like Hillary. The advantage Bernie has, though, in 2020 is that there's such a divided field. He's, as Mike was saying, he's the defined brand, the socialist brand. The party's moving in his direction. And if you get 15% in all these states, you're going to get a good chunk of delegates. And look, if you got the delegates all divided between a whole lot of good candidates, Bernie Sanders is going to be in that mix when push comes to shove. So he is, even if he doesn't win the nomination, he is going to be there mm-hmm. till the very end. And he's not going to drop. He's also not going to drop out if he has a few setbacks early mm-hmm. on.
But if he has that 15-20% and if there are this many other candidates, as we think they are, is there a red alarm going off at DNC headquarters that says, wait a second, this could be our guy?
There should be. I mean, it's funny how the Democrats are somewhat playing into the Trump campaign playbook of, calling the Democrats the party of socialism. Bernie, it's almost like Trump is egging the party on, and they're hearing his siren call. So this is, you never should judge electability based on ideology. We saw, 2016, people didn't think President Trump could win, and he clearly had a path. This is going to be an election of polarization, and Bernie is the kind of match to, in a race that could be about two different extremes.
What's amazing is the youth that you see at these rallies.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of young people fired up to see
See the old guy, right? That they're not going around and necessarily jumping on board with the millennial or the Gen Xers. But I think this is, to me, what I'm fascinated about is how much of this core support, because I agree with Josh that he has this core. And what I can't quite figure out yet, and we will soon figure out once we get deeper into this campaign, is how many of them are there because of the ideology? Like, is this about the real true, there's 15, 20, whatever percent of Democrats who believe that the system needs to be totally disrupted. We need to, whether it's going to a full-on socialist sort of agenda as Bernie Sanders would like, or just the idea that the system itself is so corrupted and so rigged that we need to blow it up, right? How much is the focus of those, is his base focused on that versus they like Bernie, right? And everything that he represented. He doesn't brush his hair. He doesn't care what you think about him. He's not buying new clothes.
He bumps into a shower. He's got
right,
the bandage
on his head. Right. Everything about him is he is not a Paul, right? And even though there's not a Hillary Clinton to bounce off of in the way he was able to in 2016, there are many more other polished candidates in that mix.
And actually, if you look back, I mean, that was attractiveness of Donald Trump.
Right.
He was kick the table over and try something
right.
different. And he was something different.
That's right. And so, what Democrats keep falling back on is, well, yeah, we worry that Democrats in the national, when you were asking about the national Democrats or strategists. Yeah. Do we worry about Bernie winning? Yeah, that's a concern of ours. But, man, our voters are really focused on electability this time, and they're going to pick the candidate who's the most electable. And so at the end of the day, they'll make the right choice. I think that's very dangerous thinking.
I mean, think about the Hillary Clinton battle with Bernie and mm-hmm. how long that went.
Yep.
I mean, he wins Michigan.
Yep.
If that wasn't a red flare for later in the general election.
And Wisconsin.
And Wisconsin.
Easily.
So, I mean, the electability of Bernie.
All the points that Amy just made is why the other campaigns really worry about him. They look at his invaluable email list. They look at his name, mm-hmm. ID. They look at his ability to fundraise. And they really worry about the strong start that he's made. And like the electability idea, and this is why pundits get so many races wrong. People don't vote like political scientists.
Mm-hmm.
People don't vote like pundits. We vote for people. I always think it's like a school election. You're class officers. Like, you didn't vote for Todd because he had the best platform. You voted because he liked him.
I did. I voted for Todd for the blessed platform. That's why my candidates never won in high school, and I'm a super dork.
I do.
Right? See? I didn't go with the, like, oh, she's the coolest one. I went with the dorky ones with the platform. Ugh.
I will say that there is some sort of a fascinating parallel between Bernie and Trump in that, you know, you talk to Trump's campaign and they say, like, his moments of authenticity where he just, you know, goes off script, attacks his enemies, that's part of his charm. That's why people like him, because he's authentic. That's who he is. What you see is what you get. You know, Bernie has that same mm-hmm. dynamic. Let Bernie be Bernie. Like, you know, don't let consultants kind of manage him and say what's the politically
right. Let's just
right
talk about
do.
That. Let's say he goes all the way. And let's say he's pitted up against Donald Trump. You know, on policy, what does that election look like? You know, it's Medicare for all. It's, you know, a climate change push. It's a, you know, where does the country fall in a general election with Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump? I mean, does the country sway during an election based on his articulation of how things are going to go?
I think it's totally up for grabs. And look, that's the avenue for someone like Howard Schultz to – you know, there are going to be a lot of voters if it's Bernie and Trump. I've talked to a lot of Democrats and, you know, they're rank-and-file members and support the party. But they say that they're going to have to hold their nose and vote for Bernie Sanders if he's the nominee. You know, this is going to be – it would be a battle of the extremes. You'd have two totally different ideologies going against each other, and you'd have a, you know, 10-15% chunk of the country that totally feels alienated on where the two parties
but
are.
But you
headed.
Likely yeah. would have a Howard Schultz or a contender against Trump before that.
Maybe. Or, yeah, or some sort of third party candidate, even if it's not Howard Schultz. You know what's really fascinating is that they actually, while they are on opposite sides of the spectrum in some ways, they're overrepresenting the sort of blue collar populist messaging. There'll be a line on trade and on, right, these corporations that are, at least if you think about Lordstown and, right, we got to make sure that these companies don't, you know, send jobs overseas and they put the workers back.
Maybe on military intervention.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to agree on those. So where the group of people who is going to feel the most alienated in a Trump Bernie Sanders are the group that Democrats have done best with in the era of Trump, which are white suburban voters, right, who said, you know, in past years, either they'd supported somebody like Mitt Romney or John McCain. Trump went a bridge too far for them. But gosh, Bernie Sanders, I don't know. That seems like that's not where my head is in all this. The other thing I think that can't be understated is talking to Democratic primary voters, there are the groupies who love him. Bernie Sanders are going to stick with him forever. And boy, are there a lot of people who hate Bernie Sanders within the Democratic primary electorate, especially Hillary supporters and others who weren't necessarily in love with Hillary Clinton, but blame Bernie Sanders for weakening her and her vulnerability. And so you talk to people out there, they love him or they hate him. And so I don't think you can you can't underappreciate that group of people who are going – they would form alliances with any other candidate to make sure that he's not the nominee.
And the African-American caucus as well. I mean, there's going to be a whole question about the black vote.
No, that's exactly right. It's one of his biggest vulnerabilities. He did very poorly there in 2016. No sign of a change in that. So – absolutely. And just picking up on Amy's thought bubble about her suburban voters, like if we're going to say this is going to be a 51-49 election, mm-hmm. like I think you can strongly argue that a Bernie Sanders nominee moves it to 51% Trump. Because if you think about it, what important state, Pennsylvania, Florida, Michigan, Wisconsin, like which of those is Bernie going to take away from Trump? Hard to see.
Right. I mean, he would argue Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania are the kind of places where a blue-collar populist, but from the liberal side, could still have appeal. Maybe if I were the Bernie Sanders campaign right now, you could say, I could even go into Ohio and Iowa, places where some of the other Democrats would be seen as not viable. Where he couldn't go is, I'm going to go now and win over some of these suburban voters in
Georgia.
Arizona or Georgia or
I mean,
Dallas.
There's a long history of campaigns like being unwise and who they wish for to mm-hmm. run against. But you can see the Trump campaign licking their chops with this idea, because I can tell you, and I know this reflects your
more than Elizabeth Warren.
I be careful who you wish for, because yes. in a race that's this polarized, yes. you never know. I've been surprised to see the number of Democrats. I mean, there are Democrats at the staff level, at the institutional level, that can't stand Bernie Sanders and would do anything to stop him from winning the nomination. And there are some people who, including he hired, I believe, one of Hillary Clinton's top research, someone who had the Oppo book on Bernie this week. So it's interesting to see how these alliances shift. Mm-hmm. I think you actually, if Bernie won the nomination, you'd see sort of a similar rally around the flag effect that we saw with the Republicans when Trump won the nomination. So I've gotten out of the prediction business because Trump really just shook a lot of the conventional wisdom in his campaign, and Trump has, you know, very polarized image. So I think it would be a jump ball no matter who the Democrats
are. He hired that guy so he didn't get hired by somebody else.
Yeah.
To do the research against him. Okay, well, this will be fascinating to watch, but it sounds like you guys think he's going to be around for the long haul. Mm-hmm. Panel, thank you very much. You can hear more of this series at Fox News Podcast.com or wherever you download podcasts. Make sure to leave a rating and a review. We want to hear from you. So for Amy and Josh and Mike, I'm Brett Baer. We'll see you next time.